Oh my goodness, welcome to NIT, Nothing is Taboo.
Hello everybody.
I'm behind the camera because, well, we don't have a cameraman, we got little old me. Alright, we're going to start. So do me a favor, everyone who has tuned in. Hey Miss Geisla, how are you doing? Well, I would say hey to Kimberly, but she's sitting right across from me. Hey Kari, big kisses to you. Do me a favor, you guys, down below. Go to the share button, invite your friends, your family, so we can grow our viewers. I'm happy to say that last week's video has been viewed well over 5,000 times, just inorganic, that we have not even touched on marketing, and we just had a lot of folks tune in over the course of the week, so I'm very excited about that. So I need you guys, do me a favor and invite your people, invite your friends, share the video. The reason we started a few minutes earlier, just so we could... I hope you guys, do me a favor. Can you guys hear me out there really good? Just want to make sure, because I had some speaker issues.
Hello, everyone. Right. I'm just inviting people.
Yeah, so do me a favor and invite your friends, your family, your crew, all that good stuff. And then I'm going to come over here and sit down, because I'm having a hot flash. Let me just throw that on out there.
Come over and drink your Paradise Island tea.
Paradise Island
tea. To cool you off, darling.
The official drink of NIT. Nothing is taboo. And you can check us out on social media. Just look up Paradise Island tea. Do me a favor. Like the page. Share the page. Go into your nearest Kroger's or retail location and grab a bottle or two. Just had to give them their plug.
It's really, really good. It's some of the best things that I have had.
Sounds bad. Yeah, something sounds really bad. It's like feedback.
All
right, y'all can hear me? All right, good, good, good. I'm coming around. Let's turn this.
That's your phone. It's coming from your phone.
I don't think so.
Is that speaker on down there?
No, that's it.
That little thing's not on?
No. Do you all hear feedback?
Can y'all hear feedback?
There is something going.
We got a humming in the studio. Bear with us, you guys. We apologize. Give us a few seconds so we can figure out where this...
I think it's outside.
Is it the fire alarm?
No, she says it's the fire alarm. She asked whether it's the fire alarm.
It might be.
No, I think it's outside. All right, so I'm coming around because this is not a good look for me to stay back there. Sorry, y'all.
Come on, love.
All right, I'm going to come and sit down. Do me a favor. Oh, Lord, Tanya, act like I'm skinny. She put the chairs out. Look.
She is.
Oh, Lord. I went to Wakanda twice this week, gained a little weight. I hope you can.
Did y'all check out on the back?
Yes, that is for CKW Magazine. What I'd like for you to do is definitely go to www.shakewolfolk.com and download your free copy.
We're blowing up.
All right, guys. First off, how are all of you doing? Well, I hope. We are going to get our video going here.
Thank you so much for tuning in.
So we can read your comments.
We appreciate you guys.
All right. So it looks like we look all right on camera. Okay, yeah. She reads the comments. I don't, because I take my glasses off because I'm vain. So do me a favor again. Down below, this little button right here that says share. Share it. Invite your people. And something I wanted to mention, if you are a small business owner, be sure and network in the comments. List your business, website, links. If you're a nonprofit or community group, whatever applies to you. Make sure you put it there. Oh, I'm about to take a sweat off. I'm getting hot. I went to Wakanda. Look, Black Panther. We're going to talk about that in a moment.
Is that helping?
Yes. I'm so sad when you have hot flashes like that. But do me a favor. If you are a small business, we definitely want to support you. We want to give you your shine. And we were going to stop it last week, but I've decided to carry on to this week. From the pool of businesses that comment, share the video, send us their information, we are working with LGTVchannel.com. He has created a program called The Gift. And what The Gift is, we will pick together, LGTV and Shay Shay Media, will pick a business. And they get a full produced commercial. It's not your daddy in a selfie stick. It's not your uncle in his Canon 222 from Target. This is literally a fully produced commercial, professional commercial. We're hoping to give you a little marketing support, help you shine, and have something, some great media to put out there for the world to see so they can learn about you, your product, and your story.
That's
so
right.
Again, down below in the comments, yes, it's going to be free. Put your business, websites, if it's a community organization, if it's a nonprofit, whatever, put all that information down there and network with each other. Post any links, put a picture, logo, We're cool with all that because I love you guys.
So, thank you, Mr. D.
Woo, okay, hot flash. Who out there is having a hot flash? Because I'm having one. So,
never had.
At least she rubs it in. I never have. I got a cousin like it. I never had the problem. I smoke choker when she says it. Because I'm having a hot flash and I get angry. I get emotional. She's never had one. So I'm having one for both of us, obviously.
And I'm cold.
And she's cold. How many people do I hang out with?
I'm having the cold.
I don't even fit into this group.
It's just hard to please all women at one time.
I just don't fit into this group.
Just hard.
So ladies and gentlemen who tuned in, we want to thank you. Thank you
so much.
And we normally, you know, we start out and we give our shout outs, which we did. But we're going to talk about a little bit about Black history, and we're going to talk about Black Panther. We're going to shorten that a little bit because we want to get into the topic of why women hurt each other. We started talking about that last week, and Miss Tanya wasn't here because she had an emergency, so
and
she's
I'm
here.
Here. So glad to be back, you guys.
Yes, everybody's prayed, and we're all good. Yes. She's here, so we're happy to have her back. But we want to extend that segment so we can not only get her input, but continue this conversation because we've got a special show coming up on March the 8th, and I got some chocolate eye candy for you ladies on that show. I got men, I got punks of men, smart men, brave men. They're going to come and eat with the ladies at the MIT, and we're going to talk about relationships. So I wanted to address this topic with you all before we bring the men on in a few weeks. So, first and foremost, current events. Y'all know what's been happening.
Woo! The movie.
Wakanda. I just keep saying it because let me just go on record and say it. That little Chadwick Boseman, oh Lordy, Lordy, King T'Challa, that man he's fine. I mean, I just got to be honest, he's fine. It did something to a girl's soul and heart to look up there on the screen and see all that chocolate goodness. The ladies looked beautiful. It was just a gorgeous movie. And I am a comic book kid. I was the little nerdy girl, so I've always been a Marvel girl. One of my kids is a DC kid. I really think she's adopted, but that's another story. I don't know who her people are. But I from my opinion, I know she has not seen the movie yet. So I don't want to give any spoilers. So I'm gonna try not to have you seen it.
I'm sorry, I just haven't had
it. So nobody's seen it but me. Well, let me fill y'all in. Woohoo, let me say. First
off, not that we're not gonna see it, we've just been so busy. Yeah. Number one. Number two, when I was going, it was completely sold out.
Yep.
Number three, my daughter told me to stay away from the movie theater because she couldn't hear half of what was going on because the audience was talking so much. Mm-hmm. You guys have to be mindful of other people that are at the theater and don't do as much yelling and cursing and turn your phones off. So that's another reason I waited, because I want to hear the movie and be able to enjoy the whole movie. Go ahead.
Okay. And that, you know what? That's a good one. Now, I will say, I went opening Friday night, which was mass opening night.
Yes.
Because I hosted a movie mixer for Moments to Remember. So, big shout out to Moments to Remember.
Congratulations.
Their mixers are wonderful. I can't say it enough. If you're going to go to the movie and you want to have a positive experience, they are definitely the tickets to buy, the tickets to attend. And we got a couple of mixers coming up, and I'm, you know, fill you guys in on that. So, for me, it was work. But I still got to see the movie. So we went to Wakanda for real. And let me just say, from a visual standpoint, Marvel, and first of all, the director of the movie, the producer, the director, he's a 31-year-old African-American male.
Woo-hoo!
Had the largest budget ever handed to an African-American male to produce a movie. It was $200 million, I believe. I think it was $200 million.
Yes. And his very first movie, he had the smallest budget to ever be handed to an African-American, and he made...
Oh, he made it back, and he got a couple of awards and nominations and nods, from my understanding. But he's 31. And I love seeing that because that tells our kids you can achieve a lot. So I remember coming
never
up.
Never give up.
Exactly.
I remember
reading comics.
Yes.
And a lot of black kids didn't do it, or if you did. Mm-hmm. Honey, if you read comics, boo, keep doing it.
Keep doing
Be
it.
Be creative.
Enjoy you know. Them.
Yes.
Create your own. That's
Ooh,
even
yes.
better. Just you and your friends, or you and your cousins, you and your mom and dad. But that's how 90% of the cartoons are made, and all the comics is because of either a friend or family member or someone's imagination, and they just took it to the next level.
And
so believe in yourself, because you can do it too.
Yes. And I mean, there's so many different avenues, and being entertainment is a beast in itself, but there's
yes.
a lot of layers. For me, when I saw the movie, I mean, it was just phenomenal, the costumes. And it was, I believe, three African-American women who were in charge of the costumes. Years of research. Everything is literally based on facts. They've researched various tribes in Africa. and they created costumes gorgeous. Mm. The set, and I know CG played a lot in the role, but still, it takes imagination to create. It was just gorgeous to see, and they filmed a large portion of it on Tyler Perry's set, his newest studio set in Atlanta. So for all y'all that were trying to dog Tyler Perry, I'll heed him. Actually, he did. And that, you know, so we're going to talk about that crabs in the barrel thing in just a minute. Woo! Because it's getting out of hand. But notice how everybody was able to come together and they created a project that I know they have to be proud of. I was proud to watch it as a comic book fan.
Producer,
and
director, writer, was all African American. Yes. I mean, it was just beautiful.
Y'all,
90% of the cast.
Oh, the whole cast is fine. Y'all don't understand. I couldn't even be mad at the villain. I was just like, give that little boy my number. I don't care who he is. Y'all, I mean, it really, I'm telling you, like, if you've not seen it, the story. Yes, so he, Killmonger, call me boo. I mean, he was a doll, but it was, Michael B. Jordan, who is an extraordinary actor. He brought a lot to the character. I was just so impressed to see folks coming in.
Is he the guy that played James Brown?
No, that's Chevy Crossman. Okay. He plays King T'Challa, who is Panther.
That's his.
And if you never had a chance to see any of Panther, check out Marvel Civil War, Captain America Civil War. That's where he makes his big debut. That's the setup for Panther 2 and Captain America's newest movie. Check him out. He's so sexy. But it was really nice to see black men just doing acting. Yes.
As the kings they are.
Even the enemies, I mean, you
say it again.
The villain was not even, you got to see the story. It takes a turn. So I just want to congratulate and shout them out. And I told y'all that one time that Chadwick Boseman tweeted me back, we go together. He might not know it, but we are in a relationship. So I was glad to go see my husband on screen. I'm so proud of him. I will be there
for you, girl.
I will be there when he wins his awards on the side of the stage. You go, boo, I'm proud. We worked hard for this award. He's so fine, y'all.
Shout out to you.
That movie was just full of yum, but it's really good. The second time we went to see 3D. And I sat next to an older couple. I had a blast listening to them and talking to them. They were in their mid-70s.
Wow.
He's not a huge moviegoer. But she had gone with some girlfriends from church on Friday night. So she brought him, and we went Tuesday.
That's nice.
And we saw it in 3D. He turned into a little kid. I got my son on this side. It was really nice to see folks just enjoy something. But he was, when the movie was over, I sat and talked with him. You know, I interview everybody. And he said he was so moved to see black men and women as royalty portrayed with honor and respect. Because then he went back to things he had seen in his childhood. So it was really nice to hear something from that generation.
Amen.
So I don't talk a lot about the movie, but what I'm getting at is I want you guys to go see it. If you've got children in your family, if you've got young people, take them. You know, it's okay to take them as a creative outlet and encourage them. Like you said, create your own comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to get into media, movies, or music, there's so many levels to entertainment. So let's not just tell kids they can only do this. They can work on set. You can do the soundtrack. You can do the score. You can create your own. You can write a book. Just show them creative side.
Costumes, makeup, so much more.
Yes.
You don't have to be in front of the camera, be an actress or an actor. There's so many other roles, as Shay said, that you can play being a part of a movie that comes out, a phenomenal movie like The Black Panther. So I'm so glad that it got rave reviews.
Yes.
They made the top of the box office hit for the weekend.
I think it was... It was 200 and I think like 20 some million here. I think I'm lowballing it because I think it's more than that. Globally, they made over, was it $400 some million? Because you got to remember, it opened across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's broken records just across the globe, not even across the nation.
So kudos to the kings and queens.
And I want to see more of our kids, more of us doing some things that allow for creativity,
mm-hmm.
creating characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often we're not portrayed on screen when there are roles.
And if we are, that's always negative or a female with a million kids and no daddy in their life.
Or she
killing each other
or
on drugs or... Yeah, it's always negative. So
it's
good to hear that we are portrayed in a positive manner.
Yeah, I didn't see no prostitutes in Wakanda. I don't think they have none over there. They are really the grand civilization.
Kings and queens, you don't need it.
They didn't have no horse. No Wakanda horse.
But you know, that's really all of our ancestors. If you trace your roots back, you would see that we are all born from royalty.
Yes.
Africa is the richest country in the world. You have titanium. Everything that's used in a cell phone comes from Africa. And of course, we've got diamonds, which have turned into blood diamonds. They've taken land from our ancestors and stole it so that they can control the diamond and the diamond industry because of greed. But that's our land. So not only did they force us to come over here to America and lie to us and told us we were going to have a better life, they took what was ours in our own country.
Yes.
So I'm glad this movie came out, and it's a great opportunity for you to spend an afternoon or an evening with your loved ones, with your children, so that you can educate them about their ancestors. We all came from royalty. Believe me, we all came from royalty.
Yes. So, I mean, it was, and I know you guys have not seen it, so once they see it, they'll come back and report. But let me just say, you will be pleased. You will love the eye candy. You'll love the story. It just does something to the senses.
I fall asleep at the movies often.
Now, you won't, I'm telling you.
I don't get enough rest.
When they take them shirts off, you ain't going to fall asleep.
As soon as I sit in that chair and I got a little popcorn, it's over.
No, honey, I dropped my popcorn. When I took off his shirt, I was like, popcorn everywhere, trust me. And let me just say, the women were gorgeous. The female warriors, and there's a scene in the movie, I got a little excited, turned to a kid, because one of the warriors was all high yellow, like, and I said, oh, I got a yellow ball-headed girl. Just for the record, she's my hero. She had a spirit. That's what I want to do. I want to play in the next Panther, and I want to be the light-skinned warrior.
You can do it.
I don't want to shave my hair, but
you can do it. Look, you got to do everything that the movie requires. You can't do what you want to do to be in the movie. That just doesn't make any sense.
She can't be my manager. It's not already. Trey, like, if you're watching, don't worry. Tanya will not be my manager. She's already.
She want to be in the movie, not shave her.
You want to at least be like, I'm going to try and negotiate it. I don't know if it's going to work.
Bye, Craig. Just try it out. That'll work.
But I know this is Black History Month, and I know you've got something you want to touch on for Black History. So I wanted to do Panther first, so y'all can get my excitement.
I wanted to share a story of a group of kids that were in a program. And they sung the Negro National Anthem. They did not even know that it was the Negro National Anthem. And this is a group of elementary children. And the sad part is, a lot of their parents didn't even know the song. But basically, their parents grew up at a time when we became, busing came into existence in Louisville. Mm-hmm. So they took it out of school. When I was in elementary school, we said a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Then we sung, the National Anthem, then we sung the Negro National Anthem from the third to the sixth grade. So it was something that was taught because all of my teachers were Black. When I was in, from the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, every single teacher I had was African American. So they made sure that we knew that song, and they drilled it in our head. It was on the board. We had to write it. We had to learn it, and we sung it every single morning. But it was really sad when the children on stage didn't know what they were singing. They sung the song, they sang it really well, but they didn't know where it came from. And then their parents, which were in their 20s and some in their 30s, didn't know the name of the song and that it was the Negro National Anthem. So it just really shocked me, something that simple that we grew up on, and we know, lift every voice, and, you know, and it's like, they just heard, they may have heard bits and pieces of the song, didn't know what it was. So this is a perfect opportunity for you to just Google it. And we have Google, we have YouTube. I mean, there's so many ways that you can just sit and learn. I mean, it's a very cheerful song. So it's worth investing some time, spend some time with your kids, your grandkids even, and just learn the song. Something that simple. And I love singing. You know, you could probably pull it up and hear a rendition of it from another individual singing it.
Right.
And that'll help you to understand how the lyrics go. But just try it. It'll be a lot of fun for an afternoon.
Oh, wow. Not really? That was kind of one of those requirements we had learning school and church. And
yes, we did.
Sunday school and the Saturday. Well, my mom took me to church every day of the week, just so y'all know. So it was always that. And I grew up United Methodist. That's the Church of George Bush. That's what I always tell folks. It was a little Black church in white United Methodist. Don't get me started. It's the Church of George Bush. Trust me. It's all politics. And Robert's Rules of Orders around that. Ooh. Then they ordained me at 15. That's a whole nother show.
Goodness, that's something I didn't know. No.
A lot of folks don't know that.
Shake and marry y'all out there.
I could.
Don't need to be married.
I could.
Skip with Shake.
I could, but you get divorced. Don't come call me. I'm like, I told you during the wedding, don't marry him. Don't marry her.
Oh.
But now, it's funny.
That's a nice fact to know that you're been ordained. But yeah, I was really shocked.
That they didn't know that. Oh, wow.
They didn't know. They knew the name of the song. Some of them knew the name.
Worked
some
didn't. Some of
them were recognized.
She was not saying, but I mean, I just got
that as the principal.
Right.
Who's African American?
From? Okay.
Well, damn.
But what I realized, you guys, is that she couldn't be in every classroom. She could have made that an agenda to tell the teachers.
Yes.
Make sure that these kids know. But what you fail to realize is that a teacher would say, we got other things going on. I need to do this. They're going to push it under the rug. Mm-hmm. My daughter graduated from Central. She started in Mercy. We had her in private school. She hated it. She begged me to take her out. We took her out. She started going to Central. But they had a teacher there who taught them Black history, who was really for it, who made them read books. And he was explaining to them that a lot of stuff that he learned has been taken out. I think it was only like 2 chapters on Black history in the whole history book. So he made them go to the library, do some research, and find other ways to learn about Black history, because they literally took it out of the books in the classroom.
Yeah, and so you brought up Central. So go back tonight when you're not doing anything. Look at the program they did today. They had a huge, huge program.
They always have really. And it's funny, I was talking to a friend of mine and talking about the kids. They were talking about how they made sure to send their daughter there because they wanted her to have the cultural experience mm-hmm. so she could. And, you know, that's really important. You know, I'm like, my daughter goes way out of school. And in most classes, she's one of the only African-American kids. Mm-hmm. She's a little militant. That's the one who wears the Afro puff, the 16-year-old. So she's a little militant, so I don't really have to worry about her. But the fact that she notices that, you know, I told her, that probably apply in life, depending on what industry you want to go into. But that's, I hate to hear that our kids, something that, what was simple for us is now an issue. It was just part of life. But you're right, when it comes to Black history, we have to take control of that.
Yes.
And teach our kids and teach, you know, our grandkids and teach each other. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some Black history. Somebody, it's on Facebook, cards, games, mm-hmm. Playing cards.
Yes, I saw that.
And I thought they were really really cool. And shout out to them for doing that, because they were talking about every time that they produce a lot of them, they sell out really quickly. Mm-hmm. That, if you don't know it, that's a great game to play with your family.
Yes.
That's a great, you know, even on a girls' night or a guys' night, man, it, just to know some facts. Because the moment we forget our history, ooh, we are lost. We are really completely
yes,
lost.
We are.
And let me just say, in this country, a little bit of black makes you black. So y'all got to quit telling people like me we ain't black enough. Because somebody sent me one of their messages today. I was like, oh, my, okay.
I got to read some comments. Hold on 1 second.
A little bit of black
makes Erica White says, I think I'm going to bust out singing the song at work tomorrow.
Now, that is, just for the record, that is one of my dearest friends. While I was talking last week about my day ones, if she called right now and answered, please don't do that at work, because I will probably be the one that has to come and get you.
Sing that song, girl. Sing it loud.
Okay.
As loud as you can. Just bust out singing.
I'll come and sing it, because I don't work there. What can they do to me?
But then we have a comment from Stacy Broadway. She says,
hey, DJ.
It bothered me when I was young, and I heard it, that I didn't know it, and I had never heard it. Everyone around me was singing it, and I had never heard it. She said, you bet I know it now. Well, thank you for learning the song.
That's
I appreciate
right.
it. But, I mean, I thought it was something that all kids learn. African American. Especially if we get 28, 29 days to celebrate Black history, it seems like that any teacher in America would give a child an opportunity to learn more about their culture. It's only 28 days.
Now.
So we're not asking for, you know, the whole school year.
I got kicked out of high school for questioning my history teacher. Miss Wadday, I know she's dead now, but if you are one of her descendants, I want you to hear this. I wonder if my mother remembers. She was a history teacher. She was the nastiest, most prejudiced woman. No, she made no problems with telling you, stand in front of the class and tell you, I don't like black people. And I told her, I won't say the exact words, but it wasn't nice. Because by then, I had a little bad mouth on me.
You still do.
I mean, I keep one. I mean, I'm going to have one. But at that time, I was like 16. What are you not going to do? I don't do disrespect. But that, to me, was the most. And
somebody suspended you.
Well, no, they were like, go to the stairs. And they called my mama. What happened? She had come up there. And when they told her, she was like, okay, what's wrong? And my mother is not one to condone any BS. So, you know, you got to. It had to be something. But I remember she stood at the
Shout
front.
Shout out to Ms. Karen. Go ahead.
At the front of that class and told these kids. And this is what sent me from 0 to 100. That Senator Georgia Powell, who was one of my grandmother's dearest friends, and the reason I wanted to go into politics was she called her W-H-O-R-E.
Ooh.
She talked about, you know, she had the affair with Martin Luther King. Yes, I did, because it was Miss Georgia. And she went on to just really degrade her. And I remember, I mean, it's not going to happen again. I
know
it, but I did it because it was Miss Georgia and because of my respect for her. And I was so offended that this big old blob of woman, because that's what I'm going to call her. She was nasty to every black student. And she would tell you, I can do this. And I'm like, no, you can't. And one thing, my mom didn't raise no punk. You don't get to degrade people in my presence.
Yes.
And so I remember raising my hand, and I asked her, well, were you in the bed with them? And she said, well, I know for a fact. And I said, if you weren't there, you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And then I told her, and my grandma's an educator as well. I said, you know, you can go and call her. She's in class right now. I said, she's one of my grandmother's dearest friends. I just couldn't believe that this woman who was supposed to be an educator was so bent on putting her racist views out there that she would use it as a platform. So, yes, I got to, they told me to go downstairs to the principal's office, and I couldn't go back to class till your mama gets here, which was not a problem. I sat there and did my homework. But it's just a fact, when you're talking about teachers, you have to think. I'm not surprised that there aren't folks, and I'm going to say, because I have a lot of education in the family, and I definitely support. I think teachers are underpaid and underappreciated. You have people that have these roles or in authority, not just in education, but they have these works. So they're going to take every opportunity not to tell your kid about Black history, yes. not to acknowledge it. If anything, they're wanting to teach something that's the complete opposite and untrue.
And get their mind off of reality.
Have you been following the story out of Odom County where they said they're not doing any Black history stuff because they don't have enough Black students?
Yeah.
That's irrelevant.
Right.
I got to learn about Scottish history and European history. And that doesn't pertain to...
They said there wasn't enough Black students in the school.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And so, you know, one of our famous people said that they come to the school just on GP just to spit some Black history to them.
Sounds great.
I mean, it's something...
Shout out to whoever you are.
It's something that still exists around 2018, but I'm not surprised, especially that particular location. Years ago, I remember working there. And I passed. I don't happen to go back, that's for sure. Because I was surprised they wasn't eating dirt when I showed up there. The racism and the prejudice was just horrific there. So I'm not surprised.
Well, you know, that's kind of the beginning of busing here in Louisville, Kentucky. So we started busing in, what, the 70s, I guess?
70s. Early 70s.
Yeah, and it was really sad. My sister was... had rocks thrown in her bus every day for 2 years. Rocks, they were rocking it. Once they got to the school, these people literally took off from work just to stand at her school just to make those kids feel bad because they wanted an education. And like I've said before, a lot of our kids take it for granted. They don't know what our great-great ancestors went through. Some of them don't know what their grandmothers and great-grandmothers went through, because this is when we were in like elementary school, and they're starting to just put us on a bus to travel over to another area for better education because they had Black teachers at Black schools and white teachers at white schools, and that's just the way it was. So they ended up integrating all of us so we could go to school together and have a better education. But there were people who literally took off from work every morning for 2 years to push that bus, rock that bus, spit on them, and this was like in the late 70s.
In the 60s.
Here in Louisville?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
And, you know, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Odom County's kids, African-American kids, are really, like, taking some heat and being called the N-word and just all kind of stuff is happening in Odom County right now. You know, I have a friend who has some mixed kids, and they're just really having a hard time in at school right now. And you would think that we would be in a better place with race.
In 2018, absolutely.
Well, people can say whatever they want to say about Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't incite hate. He gave people permission to say how they've been feeling for all these years.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, he gave them backbone. And, I mean, here's the thing. A lot of these younger folks, these millennials and then your 20-somethings, because they did come up in a different time, they don't know how to deal with it because they don't... I know my daughter's probably watching, but one of the things I'm saying to her, some of her Caucasian friends like to use N-I-G-G-A. Mm. And I said, you know,
it's the same.
They call you nigger when they do that. But the kids, they don't see it that way because they hear it in songs. In my day, you know, we were sitting there and, y'all could eat my white family. Don't say that. No, it's not going to happen. We're fighting at Thanksgiving dinner now because y'all have done that. You know, so much is common for them. And I understand because they didn't have those struggles. They were born into a time that they wouldn't have this time and these freedoms and choices if it wasn't for the folks, you know, my grandparents and great-grandparents, those who read, my mother, you know, that saw civil rights and things like that. So I get it that the kids don't know it, but that's a shame, and we have to change that because I think with some of these children, if they understood what the people before them had to go through, what, you know, to really understand the fight and the struggle, mm-hmm. it might change some of that and maybe get rid of some of that entitlement. Because you guys feel entitled, but you got to understand blood, sweat, and tears were shed for you to have that feeling of entitlement.
Spit on.
And so you're really not entitled to it. It was a sacrifice.
It was.
The folks before you gave up lives. They gave up livelihood, families. You got people. I was listening today to the song Strange Fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood on the root. Mm-hmm. Billie Holiday. Mm-hmm. I think it was Billie Holiday song. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm sitting here thinking, here she was making a statement in her time, singing this song that potentially could have got her lynched.
Yes.
That was commonplace then. So you're walking to the store, walking to Kroger's or whatever store you're going to. Years and years ago, folks couldn't just do that. You had to be in the house before it got dark. You need to know where your son and your husband
was. You couldn't go down certain streets. You couldn't go in certain cities.
Yeah. Well, and then you had your sundown cities. And you keep running Mississippi and all these kind of cities. And let me just say, and I'm going to be honest, y'all, I've never been to Mississippi. I've never had the desire to. I'm not trying to offend y'all, Mississippi. I may come this year. But the last time I was headed down to
ATL. We're going to do a show there.
And we saw the sign I asked my daughter, I said, y'all know, she was like, oh, no, we can't go to Mississippi. They hang people. And I was like, wait a minute, baby. So we had to have a talk about Black history. But it's sad that even in this day and age, people have that fear. When you think about it, when you look on the news, you know, we see acts of violence and things, you know. So it's a viable fear. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, 2018. That's not even
and
accessible.
It's still going on.
They still got Coon Ridge right here in the state of Kentucky. Coon Ridge.
Where is that? What is that?
Down in western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. See, mm-hmm. I learned something.
I'm not, you know, and I'm not surprised. Learning. There are so many areas that's just a way of life. Racism is a way of life.
Yes.
And I'll be honest. A lot of times when I'm on the road, and especially if I got the family with me, and we'll put my mother was with me one time. I think we were coming back from ATL. And I have a habit. It was gas time. I'm just pulling in. Mm-hmm. I get out, and I go, there's the gas station, there's this little restaurant. I'm hungry. I like to find the oddest places to eat and hang
something
out.
Different.
That's just how I am. Yeah. I'm very adventurous in that aspect. They stay in the car like, a girl, y'all, y'all. I get up, and there's a sign that said, go away. And I said, oh, hell. And I looked around, I ain't seen no Black people.
What?
The sign said, go away. I don't know if it's me, but other Black people, I don't know. But I didn't stay.
I got in the car.
I
wasn't that hungry.
I said, this is Nick Pete running Kentucky. Let me get on out of here. We was close to home.
Nice. Eating food.
Yeah, we were in Virginia eating. And I'll never forget, the man said, this has only been a couple of months ago. He sat down, all of a sudden he looked over and he said, I don't want to eat next to Nick.
Aww. I mean, people still say stuff like that.
In a hibachi restaurant, which was hilarious, because I'm like, well, no, wait a minute. You know, you might be in the wrong place. You know, if you don't spread, but okay.
You need to stay at home and eat. Fix your own food and just stay at home.
A hibachi restaurant.
A nigga is a low-class human being. It's not a color of a person's skin, and that's what a lot of people don't realize. Look in the dictionary, and I had my 10th grade teacher to tell me that. He said, don't ever let anyone offend you with that word, because it's not a color. It determines the education that you have. And that's really what it was created for, that word, to belittle us.
Yep.
So, you know, that word itself, let it roll off for you, baby, because it doesn't pertain to you.
And it's, I mean, it's just something that, and like he said, 2018, and I'm just baffled that these kids didn't. I mean, I'm really not surprised, but I am baffled that they didn't know it. And I hate to hear that. That means we're failing. The generation
of parents, right?
Yeah, we're failing because they should know that. So I challenge all of you guys watching, grandkids, kids, nieces, nephews, family, if you think they may not know the song, even if they do, teach it to them. Send them the lyrics. Post it on your social media. Tag them in. Because, yeah, that's something you just need to know.
You know what? Watch an educational African-American
movie.
There you go. Roots. Sounder, I think, was out. Roots has a part two. I mean, there are so many things. A Raisin in the Sun. There's so many things that you can watch. And then just to start up a conversation, mm-hmm. to get them interested so they can be eager and then they want to know. But the number one thing, if you don't take anything away from what we just discussed, is educate your children on the importance of getting a good education.
Mm-hmm.
Because like who would ever thought that we would have been, you know, spit on and yelled at and called the N-word when we were in school. And we didn't even think about that till this point. We were talking about busing. When it first started, you know, it was just horrible. It was like, what is wrong with these people? Why are they treating us like this?
Mm-hmm.
because they had so much hatred in their heart. But educate your child on the importance of getting an education while it's free. Because in the United States, you can go to school free from the 1st to the 12th grade. And that's enough education for some people. But if you don't, go to educate them on self-education. Learn together. Because that's something I love doing. I love learning. I mean, it's simple. It's easier now with the internet and all the different methods that you can learn from. But just teach them how important it is to get a good education here and that it's free.
And you know, one of the things I want to say is, like, you know, I live in Kentucky, grew up in West Virginia, and I still go to West Virginia.
You did?
I grew up in West Virginia.
I didn't know they had that people there back then.
Well, they have few. And so I talked about this today with somebody about how I go home. And so I'm going home in the next few months. And, you know, and I always get pulled over. You know, I got a nice car with tinted windows, and you always got that state trooper that think you're bringing drugs in.
Because yes.
Everybody in the little small town I come from that's got really nice cars and nice houses are bringing drugs in. A lot of them.
Not all
of them, some of them. But, you know, I just had to have a come to Jesus talk with a state trooper and say, here's my business card. You know, I'm doing the right thing. I'm originally from here. And every time I come here, I get pulled over. And y'all treat me like a common criminal because I'm in a nice car with tinted windows. So, you know, check yourself.
I didn't see no black people when I was there.
Did he have a response for you?
He was just beat red in the face and said, I'm just doing my job. And, you know, and I'm kind of like, you know, okay.
I said,
okay. You can do your job, but you got the right black person. And so I think we have to speak up more than the average person. And so when I'm going down there, the population is like 0.13% African American.
That many?
You know, it's really a low percentage. That might not be correct, but I'll tell you what, I graduated from my school with over 500 kids, and it wasn't number like five black people. Really?
Well, so, I was there. It's just only been a few months since the last time I was there. And I booked a hotel, which, by the way, was gorgeous. It was in the mountain, And so I get out the little bathroom. Oh, let's go here. I said, nobody wanted to go out. They were like, no, let's be leaving tomorrow. I'm like, come on, let's go out. So we go to this candy store. I'm going to say the name, but obviously it's a famous thing there. And they just have candy. I was dancing in the black people because she was like, where are you from?
Are you real?
And I was like, hey, you know, I talked to everybody. And then here I am, 6 foot, got healed. And I was like, well, hello. My name is Shaker. It was nice to meet you. And they were just everybody. And it took me a minute to notice. Mama walked in. They was cool. I was like, you clear. They like you. They looked at me like, no, it's a little iffy. And my son, they looked at him, looked at my daughter. My daughter was like, well, we don't get kids.
Y'all should have said, we live right up the street.
Mm-hmm. I heard like,
messing up.
We're right up the street.
You know I'm your cousin.
But the work, I mean, she was so, then I found out her name was the same as my daughter's. And I was like, oh, that's my daughter's name. And she was just like, oh, wow. We went back to the hotel after that, just so y'all know, because my mother was like, I'm not getting hungry.
Yeah, she was putting them spells and eating the spirits on you, letting people touch you. Like,
I gotta be honest, I didn't know they were black. And I have a relative who was there, because I texted him and said, why did you move here? Now Kim got me wanting to go back.
In July, you know, our town is celebrating 100 years of being in existence. And people are coming from all over the world to come home. And I'm going home, and I'm a keynote speaker for one of the nights.
And for you.
You know, I actually had somebody tell me the other day, you know, I didn't know you spoke like that. And I was thinking, well, I had good grammar when we was in school. You just didn't pay attention. You know, so you know how people try to give you an underhanded compliment So you're coming home to talk? What do you have to say? Well, I'm coming home to talk about West Virginia's ravage with the opioid crisis.
Mm.
And it's a crisis, and it's a health crisis. And when it was ravaged with crack cocaine, it was just dumb black people doing what they do. And so we have to really call it what it is. And so I'm going home July 18th, 19th, 2021st. To talk about what it is, but really, all jokes aside, to really talk about West Virginia and every core value I have in my life, I got it right there.
Amen.
From my parents. So.
Amen.
And my good friends. And I have white friends, black friends, but I tell you what, I didn't see color when I was growing up. I didn't have white friends who called me the N-word and did all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
I had some of the best white friends and they parents, and they treated me just like family. And we still friends till today. And so I tell you what, and I say this and be quiet, I did not encounter racism I promise you, until I came to Louisville, Kentucky. I grew up in an area that was a lot of white people. They didn't see no color. We ate at each other's house. We spent the night. I didn't encounter that stuff until I got here, and I really didn't encounter it until I started doing some work with drug addicts and alcoholics, and I had to travel to places like Prestonsburg and Marshall County where they still have Nigger Day and all that. I didn't encounter that kind of stuff until like early 2005, 2006, when I had to travel to rural Kentucky with clients who were white, and the only thing black was me and my truck.
Wow.
And that's when I really encountered racism that was painful enough for me to really want to work toward change. So I didn't encounter that. So when I tell people I didn't encounter that in West Virginia, they find it odd. But I didn't encounter that in West Virginia. I just didn't.
Kentucky is really, my first time ever being called a nigger, I was a freshman in high school. And I'll tell you, I was I went to Southern High School. Yay, Southern Trojans, all my Southern people. So I'm standing over there at the funeral home. If your kids go to Southern, you know where it is, right across from the rallies, under the tree, after basketball practice. Guys come out of the truck, and they scream, go home, nigger. Now me, because I was like, oh, they're not talking to me. So I went to the cell phone, called my mom. I was like, mama, some niggas are around here. They telling me to go home if the niggas are coming. And she was like, I'm on my way. And I was like, okay, some niggas coming. I didn't know. Because that's my first time. I'm like, sure, they're not talking to me. And then when I go home, nigga, I'm like, I'll tell them when I see them.
Look at what the girl grew up in high school with me wrote.
I mean, but here in Louisville. Now, since then, I've encountered, I had a lady ask me, I was about 20-something.
I worked here, I didn't see the rest. Becca, went to high school with you. Thank you, Becca. I'm going to read her comment real quick. I'm sorry. I agree, Kim. I didn't feel racism.
In man. That was the name of the town, man.
In man.
Yeah.
But I'm a blonde white girl. We were all hardworking brothers and sisters side by side in my eyes.
And
I like
were.
That. Thank
and
you.
And we were.
I'm just shocked because I kid you not. I'm kind of had the same experience that Shay had when we went. We used to take a road trip, my husband, I, and kids every year. And every other year we would go to Virginia Beach, which you have to go through West Virginia. Mm-hmm. We pulled up some places to get gas, but we pulled up to get something to eat, and they saw us in our car, and they shut the window and wouldn't wait on us. I said, well, we don't want no food out here anyway. They
right.
don't want to wait. This was like maybe 10 to 14
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah.
So we were very to make sure we had gas so we can run through West Virginia, and we had food so we didn't have to stop anywhere. Because the one time we got out of the car twice to get some gas, it was like people just started coming from nowhere and just standing around us. I said, oh, God. We
didn't like it's a show.
And they didn't have cell phones then. We didn't have
right.
smartphones. You just had a cell phone, but it didn't have the video and the taping and all that. And it was like a movie. We don't hurry up and get out of here. We don't need no gas. We don't need anything. Let's just get in the car real quick, y'all. Pull off. It was just creepy, scary. And you could tell, you know, the energy that was coming. It was just prejudice.
That's basically it. And those places, it's
so I'm not pushing anybody's buttons in another state. It's just, it hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. It's going to take everybody, not just one or two people, to change it. But just what I said, and you just think about a group of people, the KKKs, their mind is just dead set on not liking a group of people. They go to bed not liking a group of people. They wake up the next day not liking a group of people just because of their skin color or their religion. So it's gays, Jews, and black people they just don't like. For some ungodly reason. So,
well, isms are a tool. You know, it's not.
It's all learned.
Yeah, it's a learned behavior. Mm-hmm. It's a created thought. It's not something you're born with. And I had an older white man tell me years and years ago, and we were talking, and he said, you know, I'm not a dumb white man. He said, I know for a fact that no race is better than him. He said, but trust me, to control money, that's the tools we use.
Yes.
And, you know,
he was talking about
his grandfather and how his grandfather came to be in a prominent because I was telling him he didn't know my family was from Henderson. And for the record, I was born in the city. They was born in the country. Just let me throw that out. I was born in Louisville. But my family, and there, you know, we had white folks that were sharecroppers. We had oil wells on our land. And my grandfather, my great-grandfather, owned a farm. He didn't have a formal education, but he knew how to work money. He knew how to invest. And so, but you know, the town's a little flip-flop there. When the Depression came, all the white folks had come to him for a loan or worked for him. So I just assumed that's what folks did. Even in the 80s and 90s, I was like, okay. So to encounter racism, to hear the thoughts of people was always something that startled. It still startles me sometimes. Man, you really think that? But it's an ism. It's just a way to control and keep folks down. Mm-hmm. And so how they used to
believe it.
The plantation down. Owner, mm-hmm. his slaves, you know, they had a level of what they call them poor boat for trash.
Yes.
They had that level because they owned the slaves. So they knew they could keep drama between these two different sects of society. Because they took care of the slave, even though they didn't. They took care of the slave, then you had white folks who couldn't even get the jobs the slave had. But that was a tool to keep division. And all of that. So isn't, you know, I'm not surprised. I'm not super shocked that people still think that way because a lot of them have grown up. It's in their family. And you got to remember, the more secluded a community gets,
yes,
the more they're going to hold on to those same isms.
And a lot but of it, even if a new person comes into their territory, they feel threatened.
Mm-hmm.
So that has a lot to do with it. Go ahead, Kim.
And so, like, even today, you know, when I'm in long-term recovery, I still go to meetings in recovery where I'm the only black woman in the room.
Really?
And this is 2018. And they still have some meetings that, and don't get me wrong, these are predominantly white meetings, and white people make me feel welcome, and they've never made me feel otherwise.
Good.
But you got a bunch of people who look like me who just ain't going to go there because they already got a preconceived notion about how they're going to be treated. I don't get treated like that, and I really think I don't encounter racism a lot, and I don't get treated like that because I don't go looking for it, and I don't have that mentality.
That's right.
And I really believe whatever you go look for, that's what you're going to encounter. So, you know, my life is amazing, and I've got help from all type of different people, but I've just never really encountered the stigma and racism until I started traveling to Western mm-hmm. Kentucky and Eastern Kentucky, and I got sober with black people and white people and different people, but I just think it's all about your mentality and the way you think.
Then it still goes back to that tool, because it's been ingrained in these folks. They feel like they're going to have a racist experience. So then that ism, that tool, keeps them from recovery. It keeps them on that economic level. Because everything, and I will always say this, I'll probably believe this to the day I die, I don't care what's going on in the world, across the globe, you can always take it back to economics. You can always take it back to money. At all times.
Yes.
Not just part, just money, period. And if you really want to know what's going on, you always look at who's going to gain and who's
yes.
going to lose. Isms are created to produce ways to control money. You know, and I tell folks, I mean, real power
society,
is society.
Money, society,
so money is that thing. But even then, you can take it all. Always take it back to economics. Always mm-hmm. look at who's going to gain financially mm-hmm. or with financial power or whatever. So those same folks that won't go seek recovery because of that, they're afraid they're going to experience racism. That tool has been used to keep them on that level, to keep them trapped in that cycle. So it's just so
thinking.
Horrible. That it racism is literally weaved into the fabric of society.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what
yes.
is going on, there's going to be some racism.
And it's always going to be around.
Yeah. And it's not always, you know, white people not liking black people. Honestly, I know as many black people that can't stand white people
yep.
as I do white people that can't stand black people.
Yep.
And I don't choose sides or juggle none of that. I'm cool with everybody. You know, even in business, I'm friends with people who ain't friends with each other. I'm cool with that because, you know, I'm not going to get in the middle of that, but I think until our thinking changes, until we really know our worth and our value, you know,
I told
somebody this in Metro Government yesterday. I said, do you know how powerful West Louisville really is?
Ooh.
If everybody comes together and decides to work together,
mm.
we got some power in our community. We got some bright brothers down here. We got some amazing sisters.
Talented.
You know, just community-wise, country-wise. If we come together, you know, to be able to work together, you know, we can change the world.
We can. But we are so busy trying to not help one another. That's our biggest problem.
And be in competition.
And be jealous of each other.
Isms are everywhere. So the goal is always to break the isms. And racism is across the nation, across the globe. One thing I'll say this, then we're going to switch on to our main topic.
Go ahead, Michelle.
I take issue when you play the race card and it's not applicable.
Mm-hmm.
When you use the race card to get away with bullshit.
Yes.
When you use the race card to hide the crap you're doing. I've seen folks use it, and there's been issues, not just in this city, because we keep bringing the city up. So let me just say, here in the city, some folks weren't allowed to do something. And I'm curious. I like to investigate things. And what it was, folks didn't follow the rule. When you throw out the race card, it was because they were black. Now it's because you didn't follow the rule. I have a problem with that because what you're now telling anyone is, if things don't go your way, throw out the race card.
Mm-hmm.
And you're now nullifying folks who really experience racism. You can't just use the race card. Everything is not about race. Some things are just because you made a screwed up decision. And I hate to see that, and I see a lot of people doing it. And understand, there are a lot of people who are profiting from that thinking. Mm-hmm. So they want you to continue thinking that. Yes. And understand, when someone is when they are governed by a grant or a position or working here and there, trust me, self-preservation is going to always
be the law of the land.
So they don't want to solve. They don't want your problem solved. They don't want to see you do better. And that's the problem I have. And I'll say, since we keep talking about Louisville's next election cycle, there's going to be a lot of people running who have no experience. Y'all don't vote off popularity. Vote off experience or who can create change. There are people that are going to come in and they're going to pick up on the racial issue and they're going to run with that. And then they want you to vote for them. But when it's all said and done, they have their own personal agenda. They have their own groups or organization that they want to push. And it's not about helping the community. It's about them using whatever project they've launched and the city's approved for their very next leg up. Whether they want to be mayor, lieutenant, governor, whatever it is. These people use these things as tools to get them to where they are. So the community is just a stepping stone to what they want. So don't swallow everything given to you. Just because the person holding the spoon looks like you doesn't mean they are not serving you shit on the spoon.
But you know, that's a lot of politicians and the way politics is. I'm going to get in office so my cousin's business can work right, and I can push his violations through and won't go back. You know, that's really what it's about.
And one of the things that we really do is we accept a lot of stuff from people because they look like us. We just do. And when I hear people say stuff like, "You got to ride with me because we got to stick together. I'm cut from the kind of cloth. I don't care what color you are. If you're wrong, you're wrong."
That's right.
And worldwide, we got too many people having yes men around them. Mm-hmm. And their lives can't change because nobody won't tell them the truth. I said this today in a meeting that, you know, if you want to be successful, you got to let some other people look at you.
Yes.
You know, I can't always seek him more. So I got to be willing to let somebody else look at me, and I got to be willing to swallow.
I like that, Kim.
I got to be willing to swallow some big chunks of truth about myself if I want my life to change, because it ain't always them. If you're the common denominator and everything that's going on, it's you.
If you've been the executive director, and you can say, I quoted this, not these ladies, of about 9 different nonprofits in 2017, and every last one of them has crashed and burned, or you had an issue with it. The problem isn't them, it's you.
Show's over. Goodbye. See you later.
That is my opinion. That is, you can quote that one as a Shay K. Wolf opinion. I don't like BS. I do not like folk platforms, folk leaders. I wouldn't say it. I'm just trying to be nice.
No, not you.
And I called on that because I know.
The person who had 8 nonprofits. They
latch on. Yeah. I want you to be mindful of leeches, of community leeches, the people who are going to put their hooks in you so you can get them to the next level. They don't give a damn about your mission. They don't give a damn about your group, your organization, or your business. For them, you are something to use to get to the next step. And if they're 60, 70 years old and they never achieved anything in life, but they want a name drop, they want to tell you everything they've done, you need to be mine.
Name dropper.
Because they haven't achieved anything. So now they're looking for people to latch onto. Don't be the skin they get to leach onto.
And one of the things I want to say is, if I always got to tell you how good I am in something, I'm really probably not that good.
Say it again.
If I got to tell you how good I am, I'm probably not that good. If I got to, like, you know, toot my own horn, it says something about my success. Because if you're good at what you do, other people will see it.
And your light will shine.
And your light will shine.
And so, it's noticeable.
And be mindful. I'm on road now. Be mindful of the people who always have something to say that use social media, or they use, "I got a file. I got a dossier." They always want to insult. They always want to hover and linger and hold things over people's heads to try to get folks to do what they want. Because if they really had power and ability, they could do it themselves. Always look at the person talking the bullshit about what they can do. Look at how they live and look at how they wrote and look at what they've done. Because if they really could do it, they'd already done it.
And, yes. You know, and piggybacking on top of what Shay said, you know, everybody who know me know my story. And, you know, I'm transparent, and I told my story because I know if I don't, somebody else will.
The wrong way.
And I had somebody from my past surface and say, you know, you took some pictures about 20 years ago, and what if I show them to everybody? I said, send them to me. Y'all put them on social media. I don't care about that. I said, here's what you need to understand. When I took those pictures with you, that was because I cared about you. I didn't really worry about what you were going to do with them 20 years later. But here's what I'm going to tell you, dude. I am comfortable in my own skin. Mm-hmm. You can show whatever you want to show. You can tell whatever you want to tell. And you're probably watching. But I tell you what, I do not operate from a position of fear anymore.
That's right.
I tell you what, I lived my life a very long time living a fear-based life and worried about what they said and what they did and if they found out. Today, I put it all on the line because I'm surrounded by women who say, speak your truth.
That's right.
Put it on the line. Let the chips fall where they may. And when people say stuff like, you know, what if you ever get fired or you do this, you get another job. Let me tell you something.
That's just a job.
When God closed one door, I am surrounded by women like this who are going to kick open another one for me. Not because I can't, because they're going to do it for me.
That's right.
Well, we just And let me just... Anybody threatening you, your mama, that's the kind of stuff. See, I was,
y'all, I'm talking about people's mom.
Your mama, that's just foul. If anytime you want to blackmail and hold something over somebody, you foul. You foul in the core. You foul in the core of your absolute being. Oh, I want to say you ain't S-H-I-T, but I'm going to be nice tonight.
And, you know, and I don't do threats and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I know when you're in a public eye, and I got a public job, and, you know, people got all kind of things they want to say about what I did in 1995. You know, one of the things I always say is, everything you hear about me is true, it's just not true today.
But you know what, Amanda, when people keep bringing up your past, they're threatened by your future.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what that is.
My future's so bright, I should sleep in sunglasses.
They don't like what you're doing, Kimberly. They don't like the direction you're going in. So they just keep bringing up negative things, your past, anything to try to make you feel bad and make you fall down. You're not going to fall down.
I don't really
know. You're going to look back.
That's and if I fall, they're going to catch
keep
me.
Looking ahead.
Well, since we already on the road, I got something else I got to get out.
We're talking about women next week.
Yeah, we're going to talk about women next week. Let me just say this. I'm a studier of people. I have mastered the art of supporting without doing business. And I say that because you can't do business with everybody. I just sit and watch people. But let me say this. If you have built your business, your brand, whatever you're doing around whatever city, if you build it on every idea being stolen from somebody else, when your shit crashes, it's going to be tremendous. You can't do that. If everybody you've done business with can tell a story of how you yanked them out of money, how you used them, how you caused problems, there is something wrong there. That is not building in honesty. Your foundation's cracked. Your bricks are foul. Yeah. You have to build in honesty. I'm telling you, in business, because you never can win in business when you're dirty.
And one thing I learned, what God has for you is for you. He'll put it in your hand. You got to nurture it, feed it, and help it to grow. What he has for me is for me. I don't need to try to steal Kim's idea and try to be like him and want to talk like him. That's for Kim. I don't need to steal Shay's idea and try to just smile in her face and then take stuff. No, that just doesn't work like that. You're not going to be successful. You got to get on your knees and pray for you to find your purpose and who you're supposed to be and the things you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to nurture and make grow in this world.
And then don't let people pimp your gifts.
No, God, no.
You know, people come and say, I want to partner with you because, and let me tell you, two things happen. You probably got the money. That's the reason they want to partner with you. Mm-hmm. Or you got the idea and they want to partner with you so at a later date they can steal it. And you know, and here's one of the things somebody told me yesterday. They said, if you have an idea, close your mouth. If you get a new job, close your mouth. If you get a new apartment or a new house, close your mouth. He said, because you know what happens? You speak all your stuff into existence around all the wrong people, and you can't close your mouth. And then all the people that you talked around, they go find the resources to do exactly what you talked about.
Yeah, that's right.
And so if you're watching and you're watching people live in your vision, it's because you didn't close your mouth.
Everybody.
So I'm closing my mouth now.
Yeah, not everybody wants to see you succeed. Just because it looks good, just because they drive this kind of car,
they hang around.
And let me explain. Just because somebody can put a bunch of pictures on social media does not mean they're successful. I am so tired of the faux entrepreneur. Everybody get a photo shoot. Everybody go, and literally they've done nothing. They have no achievements. They couldn't even write a resume, but they got some pictures. And if you got to take pictures with other people's shit so you can try and look like you've accomplished something, really rethink what you're doing. Real success doesn't have to say anything.
Right.
So what the car you drive, all that kind of stuff, it's really not success. Because there's some folks walking around here, I know for a fact, because I've sat with them, I've looked at the bank account, who are worth millions, and you would never know it. Drive old cars. Because it's not about that. They know what they have.
Yes.
Some of y'all are so busy trying to look like that you broke. Yes. And you can't get your business off. And then you're doing little petty events. You want people to come buy little crappy ass tickets to your shit. I just say, y'all know I have no filter. And you using people. You stealing ideas. It's not cool. Because you got to realize there's going to come a time you're going to have to answer for that. There's going to come a time when you're going to have, and I'm not even talking about answering God, I'm just talking about answering here earthly. You can't do that kind of wrong and think it doesn't catch up with you. Trust me, it will. The world is a small place. As big as it is, it's a small place. And when you build in dishonesty, I can guarantee you, you will be uncovered. And God will let you grow so big that your uncovering is just earth shattering.
It's going to be like building a house on quicksand. There's no foundation. So it's not going to grow.
So stop stealing shit from folks. I got to be honest. Work in honesty. If you do business with somebody, don't beat them out of $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 because you think it's cute. If everybody you've done business with can tell me, oh, she beat me out of this. And I start adding the dot. Damn. That's your gig is beating people out of money. It's not in what you're doing. That makes you a con artist. And I loathe con artistry. I left my last network because of con artistry. I loathe it. I think it's one of the lowest things you can do. Because that means you prey on people.
Right.
You're preying on their hurt. You're preying on their damage and their soul so that you can make a profit. And what that tells me is you literally have no ability to build anything on your own. You are a leech of society. You are someone who I really have no use for. If you con people and use people, I don't have a use for you. And I don't need to be in your presence. And it's just a sickening thing. And I done got mad all over again. Sorry about that, y'all. Your con artist.
And we're probably going to address the women issue next week.
We're going to talk about
what
women.
What time are we at?
I'm not
we
at.
We got to leave already?
We ain't got to leave. We got to get out here.
This has been fun.
We love y'all. We sorry
and
that we
love y'all. So fast. Oh, jeez.
Craig, we got
to
stop
it. We're sorry, next week.
Craig. We love you. We got
to
talk it.
Watch
we love you guys. Make sure you tune in next
week. Oh, really quick.
We'll have some great information for you as we always do.
Anything, anybody talking, speaking, anywhere. I am off this week.
I am off this week because it's my daddy's 82nd birthday. Happy birthday, daddy. And my mother-in-law. So on Saturday, we have two parties to go to. I love you guys so much. Happy birthday and many, many, many more. So I took off Friday and Saturday. Well, early Friday, I'm doing something with the school system and some things to help the kids. But Saturday, I'm off spending time with my dad, my mother-in-law. I love you guys so much. What do you got going on, Kim?
Saturday morning, I'm doing Women Engaged, and I'll probably run through Books and Breakfast. And then I'm going to the, I'm a diehard UK fan, going to a Louisville ball game on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And so that's all, you know, that's the stuff I'm doing. So
Sunday,
I'm
going to be at Virtue hanging with the Basement Zone because I took the day off, but I want to support them. So shout out to them. I always check them out. They're a great event. Tanya broke our set. Chris, you broke it. You broke it, you buy it. No, I'm just playing.
Hurry up and buy it.
And go to www.shakewolfolk.com. Get the latest issue of CKW the Shake Wolf. When I finish, because I got to plug this, because I want to give a special hugs and kisses to DJ Chaos and Echo Alexander of Lincoln Bridge. They graced the cover with me on this issue. You can still get the issue. We have actually breached 6 million, 5 million and some odd earlier. Yes. And we're still going strong because we're only 22 days on the newsstand. So again, www.shakewolfolk.com. Get your free copy. Drop me a line. Tell me what you think. And thank you guys for tuning in. Nothing is taboo. This is your safe space. Ladies.
Thanks for our first time joining us. Thanks for letting us know. Thanks to the people in Maryland who contacted me. We appreciate everyone. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to tune in.
Have an amazing night.